All right, I want you to close your eyes for a second. Imagine this with me. It's Friday, February 13th, 2026. You're pushing open the heavy glass door of a cafe. It's cold outside, you know, that biting mid-February wind. But inside...
Oh, inside, it's warm.
Exactly. It smells like roasted beans and, I don't know, damp coats. There's this hum of conversation, the clinking of cups.
And it's the day before Valentine's Day, so there's that specific energy in the air.
That's it. That nervous electricity. You know the kind. Everyone's either planning something or worrying about not having a plan.
Totally. But we're not focused on them today.
No. We are zooming in on one table right in the middle of all this with one guy. Let's call him Bart.
And Bart, at first glance, he's a study in contradictions.
How do you mean?
Well, just look at his posture. He's a little slumped. He has that look of bone-deep exhaustion.
Yeah, like he's just finished a massive project or something. Yeah. Your body just wants to shut
Except
down.
Except him. But, and this is the part that catches your eye, his face doesn't match his shoulders at all.
Right. He doesn't look drained. He looks energized.
Energized is the perfect word. Or maybe anchored. He's just sitting there with his coffee, totally alone in a packed room, but he isn't.
Frantically checking his phone to look busy.
Exactly. He's just settled. And right in front of him, sitting on the table like it's a centerpiece, is something you just don't see in 2026.
The bright red bucket. The Olivetti Valentine typewriter.
It's a design icon. Ettore Sottsass, late 60s. That lipstick red color, it just screams for attention. It's not a laptop. It's a machine.
It's a whole statement piece. But the thing that's so fascinating here for this deep dive is that we have access to his sensory inputs. We know what he's hearing, what he's seeing, and crucially, what he's remembering. So what we're watching isn't just a guy with a retro typewriter.
It's a sensory journey. He's literally building a narrative right there at the table.
It's like a study in how memory actually works.
Yeah, you're right. We think of memory like a filing cabinet, right? You pull out a file, you read it, you put it back. But it's not like that. It's a creative act.
So Bart is sitting there, tired from work, but he's actively building a bridge to his past using what? Three specific things.
The typewriter, the taste of his coffee, and a very, very specific playlist that's running through his head.
And the most important detail of all.
His Valentine is not there.
Nope. The chair opposite him is empty.
Which on February 13th usually signals lonely guy. But that is not the vibe here at all.
Not even close. He's connected to her maybe even more deeply than if she were sitting right there scrolling through her phone. So let's unpack that first anchor. The typewriter.
The Olivetti.
Why that? Is he just trying to be a hipster?
I don't think so. I mean, it's deeper than just aesthetics. Think about the physical act of using it.
You have to actually strike the keys.
Yes. There's resistance. There's that thwack sound. You're making a physical impression on the paper. It's tactile.
And the source material says he's feeling this warm exhaustion from hard work.
Right. And in our digital age, work can feel so weightless. You're just moving pixels around. The typewriter, though, it grounds that effort. It gives the work mass.
But there's a story layer here, too, right? The behind-the-scenes bit.
Oh, yeah. This is brilliant. In the narrative Bart is creating for himself, that typewriter is a character. He might not have even owned it back then.
Wait, really?
Maybe not. But in this moment, in 2026, he's cast it in the role of the anchor. He's decided it was named after the song, My Funny Valentine.
So he's projecting all this meaning onto the object.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a tool, it's a symbol of their entire relationship.
It's a fictional flourish in his own autobiography. He looks at that bright red machine and he's thinking, this is the container for my affection.
He pulls the paper in, the roller clicks. It's a ritual.
It is. He's getting ready to write. And he's fueled not by the caffeine, but by, as the notes say, the love and trust of his partner.
So the machine is the engine, but she's the fuel.
That's a great way to put it. And because he has that fuel, the exhaustion isn't draining him. It's satisfying. It's that good, tired feeling.
Okay, so the stage is set. He has his prop. And now, the soundtrack kicks in. This is where the time travel really begins.
The cafe noise just fades away.
And this bass line just drops.
I've seen that face before. Grace Jones.
Libertango. It is such a moody track. That accordion, that whole reggae tango fusion thing, it sounds like it's from a spy movie.
It totally does. And instantly, the year 2026 just evaporates. Bart isn't in a cafe anymore. Where does he go?
He's back in 2001. Sono, South Norwalk, Connecticut.
A very specific place and time.
And a very specific bar. A wine bar called Barcelona.
Which, yeah, if you know that area, that was the spot back in 2001. Dark wood, tapas, really low lighting.
Was there still smoking in bars in 2001?
Probably just at the tail end of it, yeah. The atmosphere would have been thick. And Bart, he remembers exactly what he was drinking. A TNT.
Tanqueray and tonic. Classic.
It's distinct. See, this is how sensory memory works. It's not just I was at a bar. Right. It's the taste of the lime, the bite of the gin, the sound of that Grace Jones track.
But the visual anchor here is what gets me. He's not looking at a person yet.
No, he's looking at the furniture.
The big black mirror.
Right. A huge frame above the bar that was acting as a mirror. Now, here is where the psychology of memory gets really cool. Bart calls this a black mirror.
Which immediately makes me think of the TV show.
Exactly. But the show Black Mirror did not exist in 2001.
Whoa. So he's using a future reference to describe a past memory.
We all do this. We're constantly editing our own memories. He's looking back at 2001 through the lens of everything he's learned since, including pop culture.
That's wild.
There's even a note about a friend from hotel school telling him about the show. And now that conversation is permanently welded to the memory of the bar. It's a collage.
His brain is doing post-production on his own life. So he's staring into this so-called black mirror the Grace Jones tango is playing.
Yeah.
And then
the door opens and he sees her.
The Valentine.
He sees her reflection in the black glass before he sees her in person.
That is so cinematic. You can't write that better. She walks in, framed by the mirror, while Grace Jones is singing about mysterious faces.
It is. But we have to talk about the lyrics for a second because there's this hilarious disconnect.
Well, the French part.
Yes. So Grace Jones is singing in French, right? She's singing about being stalked on Haussmann Boulevard in Paris. It's tense. It's noir. It's kind of dangerous.
And Bart is just a guy in Connecticut.
Bart is a guy in Connecticut who, by his own admission, has horrible French.
I love that detail.
Yeah.
He's not pretending to be some mysterious spy.
No. And that's what makes the memory so real. In a movie, he'd understand every word. But in reality, he's just thinking, wow, this sounds so cool and mysterious, while completely missing that the song is about impending doom.
He's just projecting his own romance onto the melody.
It's all about the vibe, not the literal meaning. And that vibe is the beginning of everything, that moment in the mirror. That's the seed for the 25 years he's feeling in that cafe in 2026.
So Grace Jones is the portal. It gets him to the memory. But then the playlist in his head shifts. And this next song. This is where the deep dive gets really profound. This is the philosophy track.
It really is. The song is No Communication, No Love, Devastating by Charles Schillings.
Okay, let's just stop there. If I'm making a Valentine's Day playlist and I put a song on it called Devastating, my partner is going to have some questions.
Rightfully so, yeah.
I mean, the title alone is a huge red flag. No communication, no love.
And the lyrics are even bleaker. It just repeats the word devastating over and over. Lonely living with someone with whom there is no trust. It paints this picture of a relationship that has just completely rotted from the inside.
It's the ultimate nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Being trapped in a house with a stranger you used to love.
It is, but, and this is the twist, Bart hears this song in the cafe and he smiles.
Why? Is he a masochist or something?
No, it's the contrast. Think about it. He's celebrating 25 years with the woman from the mirror. He hears this song describing the absolute worst case scenario, and he just realizes.
That's not us.
That's not us. It's like listening to a hurricane warning when you're sitting inside by a warm fire. It just amplifies his gratitude.
So he's looking at the lyrics for devastating and realizing he has the exact opposite. He has the communication. He has the trust.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And there's a concept in the notes here that I think is the key to this whole thing.
The difference between being alone and being lonely.
This is the core of it. The song actually makes this distinction. There's a line, however, being alone does not necessarily mean being lonely.
Let's chew on that for a second.
Yeah.
Bart is physically alone at that table.
Yes.
But he is not lonely.
Not one bit. And the reason is, loneliness comes from a lack of connection. You can be lonely in a huge crowd. You can be lonely, like the song says, living with someone if there's no trust. That's the devastating part.
Lonely living with someone is so much worse than just being alone.
It's exponentially worse. What Bart is experiencing is solitude. Solitude is the state of being alone without being lonely. It's a positive state. It's where you recharge.
But you can only really enjoy that solitude if you have a secure base to return to.
That's it. That's such a powerful idea. Because he knows his relationship is solid, he can sit in a cafe, listen to a breakup anthem, and feel completely at peace.
He's immune to the lyrics.
He is. The song warns about a life that he managed to avoid. He's thinking, we made it. We built that meaningful life the song talks about.
Better alone, building a new and meaningful life. That's the line.
Yes. And for Bart, that life is already built. And that's the source of the energy we saw at the start. He's not drained because he isn't carrying the heavy emotional weight of distrust.
Distrust is exhausting. Walking on eggshells.
It's completely exhausting. Trust is like a battery charger. It frees up your mental RAM. You don't have to constantly wonder, what are they thinking or are they mad at me? You just know.
Can that freeze you up to just sit in a cafe and write on a red typewriter? It lets you just be. Which brings us to the final song, the anthem, the namesake.
My Funny Valentine.
This is the landing gear. We went back to 2001 with Grace Jones. We stared into the abyss with Charles Schillings. Now we're coming home.
And this song connects everything. The typewriter, the woman, the feeling.
The lyrics are so interesting because they aren't your typical love song lyrics. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable.
It's honest. It's intimate. It's not about some idealized perfect person. It's about a real person. He sees her as his favorite work of art. And, you know, works of art have texture. They have flaws.
And that line, "Don't you change your hair for me, not if you care for me."
That is the definition of unconditional acceptance. And I think that ties right back into that whole exhaustion energy dynamic we've been talking about.
How so?
Well, why do we get tired in relationships? A lot of it is the performance, the need to impress, to hide parts of ourselves. When you hear, "Don't change a hair," it's permission to drop the mask.
It's permission to be tired.
It's permission to be exactly who you are, and that is safety.
That is the safety. And that's why he's smiling at the typewriter. He knows when he goes home, he doesn't have to audition for a spot in her life.
Yeah.
He has tenure.
Relationship tenure. I like that. It's true. And the song ends with that promise. Stay. Every day will be Valentine's Day.
And looking at Bart sitting there in 2026, looking back at 2001, it seems like that promise was kept.
It really was. I'm sure every day wasn't a party. There was hard work, clearly. But the romance of the bond, that Valentine part of it, that stayed.
It's beautiful. It really reframes what Valentine's Day is about.
Yeah.
Not the chocolates. It's about the durability of that promise over 25 years.
It's about the journey from the excitement of that Black Mirror meeting to the quiet comfort of the red typewriter silence.
So let's zoom out. We have a guy, a cafe, a typewriter, and a playlist. What are we really seeing here?
We're seeing the power of sensory anchors to bridge time. Bart is using these external things, the music, the object, to access an internal state of mind. He's pulling the past into the present to fuel his future.
And he's proving that you can be alone without being lonely as long as you have trust.
That's the headline right there. Trust is the antidote to loneliness.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? If we looked at our own tables right now, What are the objects? What are the songs playing in our heads?
That's a scary thought. If someone did a deep dive on me right now, they'd find a lukewarm tea in about 1,000 open browser tabs.
But seriously, what are the anchors that we're building? Bart has this incredible 25-year story anchored to a song and a moment in a wine bar.
Yeah.
Are we paying enough attention to those moments when they actually happen?
Probably not. We're usually too busy taking a photo of the moment to actually feel it. Bart's memory of that bar is so vivid, the TNT, the mirror, because he was in it. He wasn't live streaming it.
That's a really good point. He was present. And because he was present then, he gets to relive it now.
That's the trade-off. Pay attention now, get to keep the memory forever.
So here's our challenge to you, the listener. It's Friday the 13th or whatever day it is you're hearing this. You might be tired. You might be stressed. You might be alone.
And that is okay.
Take a page out of Bart's book. Find an anchor. Put on a piece of music that transports you. Maybe it's a tango. Maybe it's 90s grunge. Maybe it's just that one song that played the first time you felt really, truly understood.
See if you can bridge that gap. See if you can turn being alone into solitude.
And if you happen to walk past a cafe and see a guy with a bright red typewriter typing away with a smile on his face.
Don't ask him where he got the ribbon.
No, just let him be. He's busy having a conversation with 2001.
He's with his Valentine.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us on this one.
A pleasure, as always.
We'll see you in the next deep dive. Stay curious.